Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Recall the Midwife podcast.
Hello and welcome to Recall the Midwife. We are three best friends who watch each episode of Call the Midwife and discuss. Today we are doing a recap on series 6. I'm Alex.
I'm Becky.
I'm Jen. Usually this is the part where I do a bit of a warning about, you know, potential topics that may be not suitable for everyone, but I'm not going to really do my usual one because we like to keep it lighthearted on the recap, and we may touch on a couple of things, but we're not going to go into any in-depth conversation. So if you know what the show is like, just use your own judgment. But I think overall we're going to be pretty good, honestly.
Before we get started, I need to confess, I've just spent some time revising.
Oh!
Play! I feel betrayed.
Alex asked me before we started recording, is that you turning pages? And yes, it is. It's me turning the pages of my revision notes.
Oh my goodness. Look at Bex taking this seriously, right? This means war, but I'm not prepared in the slightest. Although I have listened to all the episodes more than all of you because I edit them all.
Yes,
and then
sure
I listen
have.
To make sure that they're okay to go out. So actually, technically,
but that just shows more. You have no excuse for previous series recaps.
Yeah, true.
Well, and if any listeners are just listening to this episode as their first one for any reason, just to say that, you know, what I've done is cherry picked quotes that I think are really great or really funny or, you know, really special or whatever from each episode. And then I just give the quote and you guys have to provide the context, like who said it, why, what the deal was. And sometimes I've gone, you know, like really, really hard, like very random, very, you know, like hard quotes. Other times, you know, it's been a little easier depending. I will say that there are some quotes in here that we did discuss on the podcast, if that helps.
Probably.
And and some quotes I just wanted to kind of like highlight. And I also did leave out some that I had picked out in my, you know, as I was selecting them while I was rewatching the shows just for the episode recaps, because I was like, we already discussed it and we don't need to kind of cover it again. So, you know, I've just made a list based on the ones that like I thought would be the most worthwhile to revisit. So I think you guys are going to do good. I think you guys are going to do good.
Bex, I think Bex is going to do good.
Yeah, well, I think her average score is going to skyrocket.
I think I've built myself up. I don't know.
Well. Yeah, to be fair, you just built yourself to be knocked down. Carry on.
I should have just answered the questions and everyone been like, oh my God.
I will say this. We, as our listeners know, for anyone who's been with us consistently, this year was a big year for all of us and we took a big break. And so the last time we did a series recap was like kind of a while ago. And we've been covering this season for kind of a while because of all different things and whatever. So
the
for
house
me going
moves
back
and leg breaks.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, just so many things going on for all of us.
Well, not
and
great,
so
but you know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
it would be easier if you broke it.
I know, I would have been healed by now.
Actually, you would, yeah, you would be done with it if you just had a clean break in the minute. Really. Well, just to still say, I'm surrounded by boxes as well, Al. So, you know what I mean? Both of our life journeys are continuing.
I'm fed up, honestly. This time next year, here's to your boxes being empty and my knee being fixed.
Yeah, exactly. We're both back to good health. Like, you know, everything is riding high. Yeah, exactly. 2024, here we come. But yeah, when I went back to episode one of this season to get my quotes, I was like, oh my gosh, it felt like so long ago, quote long ago.
This is filling me with confidence. Thanks.
Well, this is not a spoiler, but just to say, this is the series that we began with Sister Ursula. So to me, that felt like so long ago. Yeah. So just to kind of give context. So anyways, yeah. All right. Shall we dive in?
Let's get going.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'll do these in episode order. Okay. So just as a little, you know, if anything makes it easier, we're going to go start episode one and we're going to go chronologically down. I'm not going to jump around.
Side note, I've just had a message from my husband who's taken my daughter ice skating. So I've got like an afternoon free. It's exciting. Yeah. And we're doing a podcast because that's how committed we are, everyone. And he's actually got himself a polar bear at the ice skating rink.
What's a polar bear?
You know, those things that help you.
It's like a skating aid that keeps you upright.
Oh!
So she's got a penguin and he's got a polar bear. I'll send you the photos. It's amazing. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Oh, man. When I was growing up, they were always like plastic crates that they would stack on top, and they would either give you like two or three crates and then you would just zoom around with the crates and everything. We went to a very low budget ice rink, I think. Maybe that's why I never learned to skate. I don't know.
Can't skate, and I'm definitely not going to now. Anyway, sorry, carry on. Let's get back to...
Okay, here we go. All right, now I have to kind of get into my zone here because I'm trying to embody the absolutely brilliant, you know, personas of these characters. Okay.
I'm excited.
I'll just do my regular voice for most of them, okay? It's kind of you to ask, but I'm sure no one needs chapter and verse on every visit to the smallest room.
Is it a mum of a baby?
No. Didn't somebody, Jen mentioned that they've just come back from South Africa. Mm-hmm. I think someone was having issues.
Hang on, was it Sheila? It was Sheila because she was having morning sickness and Sister Winifred was like, oh, have you still got the trots kind of thing? And she was like, well, no one needs to know about it.
Yes. I had, listeners can't see this, but my eyes went wide when Alex said Sheila. So yes, it's Sheila and Sister Winifred. And Sister Winifred is like, oh, do you think your tummy's still upset from the something water or something like that? But she's like, well, I don't think everyone needs to know about all my bathroom visits. And little does she know that she came back from Africa with something else. So
hashtag still got it.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Turner's, you know, charms were working on her. So yeah.
Well, it was that Brian Nylon,
It was the Brian Nylon that got Teddy into the world. So
it was a Brian Nylon Teddy that got Teddy into the world. Maybe that's what they called him, Teddy.
Okay, let's stop there because I don't think anybody wants to conjecture about that part of their relationship, even though they're all
dark corners of the internet that they would, Jen. Carry on.
Oh my god, can you imagine the Call of the Midwife fanfic that gets written that's like romance novel style? Oh lord, okay, let's not even. All right, okay. She wrote, God did not say thou shalt not be tempested, thou shalt not be travailed, thou shalt not be deceived, but he said, thou shalt not be overcome.
My revision has not helped me in the slightest.
It's a nun, yes. We're only two quotes in, Bex. Huh?
Sister Monica Joan.
That's part of it.
Is it because Sister Ursula's back and Sister Ursula is starting to take over Sister Julienne's role?
Is it to Sister Mary Cynthia?
Yes. And we're so close, two thirds of the way there.
And Julienne?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you guys put it together. So this is
I put it together.
It's true, you did. So this is one of my, I covered this one when we did the recap, but this is one of my all-time, this is like a top five scene for me, because when I watched this show and this episode for the first time, and I already said this in the recap, but like it was just a really, really tough time in my life personally, and I was just, you know, feeling a lot of type of ways, and these and actually the way that I do these recaps is I kind of pick the quotes, and so I know where they are in the episodes, so I just kind of zoom to the quote and then I just watch the scene and kind of the time around it to like get the context and get the quote, and then I kind of move on. So I'm not watching like all the full episodes all over again. And when I tell you girls that I got to this scene, watched this scene, and from the moment it started, I was instantly in tears. Like, it just, it is just such beautiful, it's like a, such a beautiful performance from all three of these women. And this is a quote from, if my memory serves me, this is a quote from St. Hildegard de Bingen, that we covered when we talked.
Yeah, we talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah, and she's a really, you know, wonderful, like, you know, saint, and like had done all these amazing things in her life and everything. But just, I think that's right. If I'm not right, someone can correct me. But this sentiment has been expressed many, many times, many, many ways. But the idea that you may be beaten down, you may be suffering, you may be lied to, you may go through all of the worst that life has to offer, but if you just know and trust that you won't be overcome by it, that you can survive it all and keep going. And like Cynthia is, as you guys know, like she's really suffering at this point, you know, she's like really dealing with like the worst of her attack and stuff like that. So I just love this scene, and they're all, the women are just so heartfelt and beautiful. And anyways, so I know it's a bit more of a deep one, but I just had to put that in there.
Well, now, I'm going to say something to you now. We're recording this in 2023, just after Christmas, and Jen hasn't actually watched the Christmas episode yet. And,
I'm going to try to watch it this weekend, yeah.
But there's a really amazing quote in that I think you're going to absolutely love. And I've already seen it on social media repeated quite a lot and stuff, and it is absolutely next level good. You're going to love it as much as this, I think. So
That's going to be part of my New Year's weekend. So just, listeners and you guys, stay posted, because I will definitely, you guys know I love a good quote. I'm a big quote gal. So, and this show has so many, my God.
It does. Okay. It does.
Now, I'll try to deliver this next one with the same energy that it was done in the show. And then maybe that will hopefully help you. Okay. Brandy Alexander's made with condensed milk for a velvety, luxurious taste.
Nurse Crane.
It's Nurse Crane. And she was really cross about something, wasn't she?
Yes, it was Sister Ursula trying to do those 20-minute things. Oh, was it not?
20-minute? Oh, no.
Well, it might have been related to that, but that's not what she's actually mad about.
Was it to do with that weird PC Wolf?
No,
It was before he was in it. Oh, I thought it was to do with those 20-minute things.
It's probably related, but we're not at that 20-minute. No, we're not at the 20-minute visits yet. This hasn't. This is still episode one.
It's still episode one. So episode one is where Trudy Watts and Lester Watts has just got out of prison, and Trudy and Mickey are being terrorized.
Yes, exactly. And Pat and Phyllis is her midwife, and she's just that day seen them going through all this horrible stuff, because this is the point in the episode where Trudy wants to leave.
And is it the point where the police officer says to her,
yes,
you don't have any rights.
Yeah, and her mother's being so horrible to her, and she's got her little boy and all of that, and the girls are like in their bedrooms for the evening, and they all have on like regular clothes, and
Mickey.
Yeah.
With the little patch over his glasses.
I know, and they say something about, we need to have a drink tonight and everything, but she goes, regular sherry will not do. She's like, I'm making something else. And Delia's like, well, what are we having? And she's like, Brandy Alexander's made with condensed milk for a velvety, luxurious taste. And then she says it's so mad, and they're all like, okay.
To be fair, but I used to order Brandy Alexander's quite a lot.
They're really good.
As well, Alex. I'd be like, ooh, drunk Brandy Alexander.
Do you know what we should do is when Jen comes over, we should try some of these cocktails.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yes, it is.
We can have cocktail hour.
Oh, and do like a little taste test. You guys, do they still have baby sham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh! I've never had baby sham before. I gotta have it.
I can't remember having it. I had it in the 80s loads, like tried it. Not loads. I've had six because my mum used to drink it loads, and I used to think it was, and I'd try it thinking it looked dead nice because of the Bambi
bubbles
thing on the front of it. No, just because on the glass it had like a really cute animal, and every time I had it, I was like, bleh, disgusting.
Oh, well, it is. Is it like pear champagne or something like that? Like,
yeah, but it's just like my daughter trying a Prosecco, but now, like, it's just not.
Oh, it's just taste. Not. No,
so
it's
you
not.
Probably, yeah. I probably quite like it now.
Yeah.
Well, we will do that.
Yeah, we'll have to make a list of like
cocktail the midwife or something. We'll call it.
Like a whole drinking, and the episode just like continues to just roll away from us as we go downhill, getting more and more drunk, and then we all have the worst hangovers the next day.
Sounds great. Okay. Next quote.
We're doing it. We've committed. Okay. All right. Next quote. Unlike your sisters, I won't indulge you. Bonbons. now.
This is Sister Ursula confiscating Sister Monica Jones' bonbons.
In the waiting room.
Isn't it the point where Sister Ursula says that anybody who isn't earning their right to be there is disposable?
Yeah, this is also, she is. She basically, exactly. She's like talking about being strict and, you know, like the hammer is starting to fall. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Sister Monica Jones, like one act of rebellion in this scene is she hands over the bonbons, but then I don't know how she does it, but she keeps one back and pops it in her mouth. And that's like her way of like both relenting, but then still kind of keeping her
rebellion
and stuff. Yeah, exactly. And I will say, like, I mean, we've joked a lot about, you know, Sister Monica Jones, like stealing all the cakes and everything from everyone, like unjustly. But this scene, I was just like, oh my God, you're like, it was like, I was like,
it was cruel. It was needlessly cruel.
It was horrible. Yeah. And I was like, she deserves to have her bonbons. Like, you can't just steal it. Like, steal. No. It just felt so rude and unfair. Like,
said about her. She was just, there was no need for the cruelty. There was just no need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is also, I don't know if it had happened yet in this point in the episode, but this is also an episode where she takes away the TV, which, like, why?
To the Siemens mission. The Siemens mission gets everything. They get a new TV later on.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a mission. Yeah. They've got a mission to keep up, haven't they?
Which is entertaining their residents. I mean, I will say by the end of the episode, we all remember it comes back. So that's good, but still. End of the episode, end of the series, it comes back. Okay, you guys are going to know this one. We thought you brought the baby in the bag.
Oh, Valerie!
Yeah.
Talking about her and assistant.
Yeah, because they grew up in Poplar and they know the Nanatans very, very well. This is when Valerie is just been introduced to the show. She helped Sheila during the explosion, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was like, oh, we always saw them. And, you know, you were always coming for Mrs. Who or Mrs. What or Mrs. Where or whatever. And she's like, but we always thought you brought the babies in the bag. And then, you know, because women would...
it makes sense. It's actually more unbelievable how it actually happens.
It's true. It's true. And I mean... yeah, it's kind of like a extension of that, like the babies come in this, like the stork delivers the babies and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. In all my talk of duty, perhaps I forgot to speak of joy.
Oh.
Sister Julianne?
Nope.
No. Oh, Sister Ursula?
No.
No, it's not gonna be
sorry.
No, this is the end of kind of a whole speech by this person. Not whole speech, but you know what I mean? This is the last line of a few lines.
It's Barbara.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
Oh, well revised.
It is a midwife, though. It's one of our faves.
Nurse
I mean, they're all our faves. So I don't know. That wasn't really very helpful. Sorry. No, it's not Nurse Frame.
Oh, well, it's not my favorite then.
Speak of joy, duty, and joy.
Trixie.
Mm-mm.
Patsy.
There you go.
Oh, what was her name? Penny.
Penny Reed.
Yes. Oh, look at her with the notes. I got there first. But yeah.
It's the mother who is a dwarf.
Yeah.
And everybody's telling her that the pregnancy is so dangerous and that the baby won't necessarily, you know, be okay and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just determined to be happy about it and to like think it's going to work out great. And
Patsy's trying to explain all the risks, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. And this scene is really sweet because Penny and her husband live in one of the new council flats. Like she's in one of the high rise buildings.
With an amazing hall area that could hold like 12 prams. Carry on.
I know. No, it's true. And Patsy comes for like one of her regular checkups and she brings along like all of the standard issue, like new mother pamphlets, you know, like not what to expect when you're inspecting, but like kind of that type of thing. And Penny is like, oh, you know, what about all the concerns and everything like that? And she's like, yeah, no, the concerns are like real. And like, we, you know, we're going to be mindful of that, but you know, you get to be happy about this. Like, and she's like, in all my talk of duty, I forgot to speak of joy. And so like, let's have a cup of tea and just talk about baby stuff, you know? And Penny is so excited. It's really sweet. And there we go. Okay. Just to say there's no quiff in this scene either.
Back oh, God. Quiff.
Okay, next quote. We only fail when we do not try.
Yoda.
Yes.
Do or do not. There is no try, Yoda.
Yes, exactly. This is the call of the midwife, Yoda. So who's that?
So are we
Sister
still
Monica? Sister Monica Jones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Say more.
Hang on. Are we still in episode two?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sister Monica Jones, is she... Oh, if we don't try... Is it to do with Sheila and the explosion?
No. to give a little hint, this is a back and forth between Sister Monica Joan and one of the midwives about a personal issue.
Is it because Patsy's had the letter from Hong Kong?
There you go. There you go. Yeah, about, yeah.
Oh, and Sister Patsy reads it, but then Sister Monica Joan lifts it out of the bin and reads it, which is exactly what I would have done in that situation.
Mm-hmm. I would not, but carry on.
Yeah. Well, and again, your hypocrisy backs up being mad at Tom for literally looking at an address on a sealed envelope and then being like, no, I would definitely read the envelope when you thought that Tom's action was a step too far.
She's not saying it's rational, Jen.
It depends on the situation.
She's like, how dare he?
And how nosy, like, she's feeling in that moment.
And how justified she wants to make her actions. Exactly. So this is when they're going back and forth because Sister Monica Joan is like, look, I read the letter. Like, let's just, like, get real. And Patsy is like, I know, but he's dying. And she's like, I'm really good at my job, but I'm not really good at dealing with that. And I don't know. And she's like, I'm just not sure if I can take it. And she says, we only fail when we don't try. And then, you know, it's kind of, it's I mean, it's a much more thoughtful scene that I just described. But then she decides to go to Hong Kong. So, you know, Sister Monica Joan's advice was monumental.
And Patsy and Celia yet again failed to communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's kind of a hallmark.
Patsy failed to communicate with Delia this time, which is really annoying considering how she's the one that's receiving it. Feels, yeah.
Yeah, they have some, like, stuff to work
out. And we've established the timeline that Patsy had plenty of time to ring Delia after the funeral.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Well, I will concede. But at the same time, she was overcome with grief, so I won't concede. Carry on.
Okay. Shutting maternity homes across the country. Whatever next? Only a man could think it's a good idea.
Nurse Crane.
Yes, exactly. And what is she talking about?
She's talking about Mr. Greenwood, the council inspector.
Exactly.
Notes, Mr. Greenwood.
Because, and this is where we learn that Sister Ursula, like, she's coming because she thinks she can save the maternity home.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's basically a big joy vacuum because she's trying to save them, apparently.
Yeah, and she's basically like, yep, we're going to go to industrialized hospitals and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, and then the women all start talking about it and how terrible it is. And Dr. Turner is like, okay, we're going to have this inspection. You know, it's funny though, actually, because it made me think, like, I had an experience recently because we've all grown up with hospitals being kind of the norm, you know, yeah. Where you go into a hospital, it's this massive, massive, massive structure, so many different departments, so many different things, like, you know, so complicated that you get lost literally every turn. And that outside of a doctor's office, you know, like that you would see like a GP or a specialist or something like that, a hospital is the way you get care. And that's like good care, you know? And I recently had a thing with my eyes, which was fine. Everything worked out totally fine. But they have them over here. They're tied to like a CVS drugstore. It's like a Minute Clinic. But we also have like urgent cares and stuff. And I needed to see somebody like right away. And so I booked in at the Minute Clinic to go have, you know, someone help me out. And they did it. Again, it was very minor. So no big deal. But it just made me think about how when you need care or you want to deal with something health-wise, you want to deal with it now. You want to deal with a real person. You want to have, you know, like something accessible. And I think, I mean, look, I'm not going to go on a huge tangent, even though I've already kind of partially started, but the whole depersonalization and industrialization, at least in this country, of all of our healthcare, to me is just, it's tough. I don't know. Watching the show has like made me think about, you know, like if I was pregnant or if I was in some kind of, you know, serious situation, I would want a system that, you know, did provide all that human attention and like a little bit more of a personal touch and things. And I, you know, this is in no way a criticism of nurses or doctors or health professionals now who really do their best. And there are, you know, they're awesome work for patients and stuff in those settings. Cause our family's been the beneficiary of that too. It's not to say the care is not good, but I don't know. There's something like so sweet about the maternity home and the clinic and, you know, all the in-home care that the nurses do and everything. And it's just, a sad change, I think.
I will say, when I was pregnant, it was absolutely amazing. You could ring, they gave you all these different things. You could ring someone, you could have someone around, you could speak to someone, you could go to see someone 24 hours a day.
Well, I agree, but that's very much a British thing. Like, yeah. In America, like, I would be shocked if people had that experience, and if they did have it,
which
like,
is sad,
because
when you're anxious when you're pregnant as well, you know, when you're anxious, you want to be able to speak to someone.
Yeah.
Well, really, yeah. When you go through any major health issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, we do have the option for some home care in this country, but not much. And you have to go through a lot at times to get it. And that, and it's, and that's the thing. I mean, I've had, my folks have had, you know, people come into the home for home visits and things like that, but it's only been under certain situations. And it's only been like, you know, it's been a kind of a regimented thing. And, you know, you get X amount of visits a week and they would come at a certain time. And then after 6 weeks, it's over, or 4 weeks, it's over, or 2 weeks, you know, well, whatever.
Back on the midwife train, the home deliveries are more common now. They're getting more popular.
Yeah.
So there's lots of, I know there's doulas in America. There's technically doulas here as well.
Which are, yeah. And we have doulas, we have midwives. And again, the care providers, I have no criticism. I mean, we've worked with better than others, you know, but just to say, like, it's not about the care that's being provided. The care is amazing. And the dedicated people who do that work is like, hats off to them always, but just seeing the shift in the show just makes me think about where we are now when it's all already happened, basically, because this push was made and then this is the way we live our lives. And, you know, I don't know, the Dr. Turners of the world, like, I miss them, you know? Anyway, okay, well, enough on that whole thing, because I went like way off, but
it's not like us. Carry on.
Okay, better than my home. It don't have me old man in it to start.
It's a mum in the maternity home saying that she wants to have a delivery in the maternity home rather than home because her house is full of children and husband. I don't know which one, though.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know which one either. But then right afterwards, Sheila's like, oh, yes, this is like, da, 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 da. She says all the names. So this is actually a woman named Miss Collier, and she's pregnant. She's going to be giving birth in the maternity home in there. And because Mr. Greenwood is there in the room with them, with Dr. Sheila Dr. Turner and Sheila, they're going around saying kind of what everyone's, what phase of everything everyone is in. And the women chime in and say, oh, I really love it here. This is so nice. This is better. You know, it's being here is better than being at home. And then Mrs. Collier says, yeah, it's better than my home, but doesn't have my husband in it to start. And so it's kind of
I was about to say, do you reckon that she's any relation to Joe Collier? And then I realized it's Joe Collett, so carry on.
It's a funny moment, but also a moment where you kind of see that, you know, kind of more, yeah, that like poplar, you know, energy coming out. So yeah, it was
humor,
kind of funny.
Yeah.
humor. Okay, you guys are gonna know this one. There is a vanity in excess penance. You must have sustenance. There we go.
This is
Sister Monica Joan, two situations.
Oh, I was going to say. Sister Monica Joan is on hunger strike.
No, this is the afterwards. This is Sister Monica Joan, two Sister Ursula, when she's leaving and gives her like a cream
bun.
And is like stop being so flaming stupid. Go home, get out, but in a nice way.
Yeah, Sister Ursula has this thing, like, austerity is somehow, like, you know, it's more noble, you know, it's this thing to be revered, you know, no matter how hard she pushes it, it's somehow, you know, this virtue or whatever. And Sister Monica Jones says, no, like, your vanity is in your excess penance, like, that's a sin in of itself, you need to calm down, like, here, take a cinnamon roll and get the heck out, okay?
Whenever anyone says that godliness is cleanliness line, I always think of Smashing Pumpkins, the emptiness is godliness and godliness is cleanliness and God is empty just like you. Anyway, carry on. Billy Corgan.
Oh, okay. Throwback. There we go. Okay. This one I really just liked. I thought it was so sweet. Especially just, I don't know, just had me going again. There's a lot in this world that's going on. So I just was thinking about it. We are all traveling through one another's countries, but it is no matter if we meet as strangers, for we can join forces and learn to love. For where there is friendship and affection, there is the place we can all call home.
I think it's old Jenny.
Mature Jenny. Yes.
She hates it when we call her old. Now, which episode is it?
Episode 3.
Right, is it to do with the Chens?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually there's a lot going on in this episode. And
well, there's the heartbreaking storyline of Sid Chen's older sister who died.
Cyril Chen.
Cyril, not Sid. Look at you with your notes.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And it just kind of talks, you know, obviously it just talks about basically how, like, ultimately we're all the same. We just need to love and respect each other. And, like, we'll all be friends if we just give everybody a chance, because everybody's a human being and we all want the same things, you know? I always like to put Mature Jenny in there somewhere. And this one I just really liked when I was watching. So
you love a bit of old Jenny.
I do love a bit of old Jenny. Okay, here we go. Episode 4. Though she be but little, she is fierce.
It's Mr. Kenley.
The horrible doctor.
Yeah, and he's talking about Delia.
Yep, yep.
Because it's the scene where poor Gloria Venables is sat with her legs spread, having everybody look at her foo-foo.
Yeah.
I've never called it that in my life.
Didn't think that.
And she gives the diagnosis.
And yeah, he asks questions. She answers a question that the medical, the trainee doctors couldn't. Yeah.
Well, it's like one of those, it's one of those things that doctors do where like there's a main doctor and then he has like four like trainee doctors around him and he's all like, men. Okay, this, yeah, all men. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do in this situation? And then each of the trainees has to kind of come up with their solutions. They can like work, you know, like figure it out, like, you know, on the job testing and everything. And basically the Mr. Kenley says, oh, this is what's the problem. Like this, your cervix is not strong enough to hold the pregnancy within the uterus. And so that's why you're having the miscarriages. You know, is there any possible like remedy, basically? And that's when, to everyone's shock and amazement, you know, Delia says, well, basically, if you just do this kind of simple surgery where you put a stitch in, then, and then it will keep the pregnancy viable. And then you take it out at 36 weeks once the pregnancy is full enough to term that you could deliver healthfully.
It's called cyclage or something.
Yeah, it's like somebody's name and something like that.
I'm the
that.
Last person who probably should have thought about that one.
And it annoys me because then he says, oh, he'll think about whether she's a suitable candidate, which she, like, he could have just done it then and there. I'm sure it's more complicated than that. But
well, no, why? Like, yeah.
And then by the time he says that he's going to do it, it's too late.
Exactly. And the scene where she loses the baby is so painful and horrible. And just like his, you know, just his like condescension and conceit of every, of both of the women in that room.
He's, I was about like, to say, yeah, Cadelia saying it was, oh, she's small, she is mighty. I did condescend there.
Yeah, well, it's like, if you read it one way, you're like, oh, that's a nice thing to say. But he says it in the most horrible, condescending, rude way. And it's not meant to be a kindness. It's meant to be like, oh, well, look at her. Isn't she amazing that she even like knows one thing at all ever? You know, it just.
Ugh. Yeah, it seems deriding. I don't like it.
I just wanted to put it in there because I wanted to like blast him like one more time. And how, what of a horrible person he is. I just, okay, I have so much contempt for Mr. Kenley and like a lot of the doctor scenes in this book. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Next quote. If these are the best interview candidates the Midwives Chronicle can deliver to our door, I have to say I fear for our profession.
Nurse Crane.
Yeah. Her and Sister Julienne are interviewing, which, can I just say that? Sister Julienne, fine. Nurse Crane would be the most intimidating interviewer.
Yeah, but also, if you did impress her, you'd be so pleased because she'd show that as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you did manage to impress her, you'd just be so pleased with yourself because she does seem really hard, but also really fair when she's really good with her praise when it's deserved.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And she's rewarding. Very compassionate. Yeah. Well, just, and as an addendum to this quote, so they're chatting about it because Sister Julian's like, oh, really? Like, I don't know. I think we can make it work. And she's like, oh, no. She's like, listen to this one. And it's like some really preposterous name, but it's a man. And she's like, listen, like, men can't do this work. Like, it's not even like legal, which I kind of hadn't realized. But I mean, I guess, okay, makes sense.
Well, no, it would have been legal because Mr. Kenley's doing it.
No, she's talking about like specifically midwifery.
Well, I don't know. Is it?
I mean, she says that they're not allowed to be midwives. Men are not allowed to be midwives. So you can be a doctor and deal with like OBGYN stuff, but you can't be a midwife. That's what she says in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's
And then the other comment that we all think is lols is that then Sister Julienne is like, and then Phyllis is like, what about this person from something something like South Dakota or whatever? And she's like, I thought an American would be like, you know, a fresh breath of fresh air. And she's like, no, they wouldn't. And then Sister Julienne is like, okay, got it. No Americans, no men. And I was just like, ugh.
To be fair, we really enjoyed that scene.
It spoke to us.
It hit you on a really deep, deep level, huh?
I did watch it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Giggling to myself, thinking I can't wait to say this to Jen on the podcast.
Oh my God, I know. I would love one nice American that is endorsed by the show at any point at all. That would be really, really nice to see instead of either just incompetency or horrible behavior.
I'm trying to wrap my brains of any more that have come that have been good. Anyway, carry on.
There haven't. There haven't. They like, yeah. And for such a like a show where it shows all these different walks of life and different races and everything like that, the Americans have been very, very poorly represented.
Make of that what you will. Anyway.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna take it deeply personally. Yes, exactly. No, no, no.
I meant for the listener, it's not you. I don't want to get hate mail.
No. Okay, it's all in good fun. All right. Okay. I do. Then it gets untidy again. It's a mystery.
Dr. Timothy, talking about his bedroom.
Dr. Timothy,
that's what we call him now. He's going to be a Dr. Timothy, isn't he? So yeah, that he shares a room with Angela. This is when they're living in the tiny flat and Sheila's pregnant again. And they're like, we have to move, Patrick. So yeah.
Well, and Tim comes in and he's like, listen, like, where are my swim trunks? I have like class or something like that today. And he's like, I can't find them. And Dr. Turner, truly the most unhelpful, like dad energy there ever was. He's like, did you look in your room? And Timothy just gives him this look like, are you an idiot? Like, are you literally
there
like-
speaks the man who's never looked for anything in his life.
Yeah, like literally never done one bit of domestic effort ever in his whole existence. And Timothy's like, yes, dad, I obviously did. It's like, but my room's a mess. Like, I don't know where to find anything. And he's like, well, why don't you clean up your room? Again, just the most unhelpful advice. And Tim is like, I do clean it up. And then it gets untidy again. Who knows why, you know? And like this pointed look at Angela, who's just like adorably like brushing her teeth with this little wooden toothbrush. And Dr. Turner's like, huh? And Sheila's just like, oh my God, I married like an absolute moron. But anyways. Oh Lord. Anyway, so yeah, so Timothy, once more, you know, into the fray. All right, next quote. I find two opinions are always better than one, particularly if one is mine.
Sister Monica Joan.
Yes. And when does she say this, Bex?
She says it to Fred.
When?
Because they've just found... Oh, no. No. They are going to the hospital because Reggie... Yeah. They're looking at places to put Reggie.
Yeah. And this is where they discover Sister Mary Cynthia.
Yeah. I was going to say they'd already discovered it, but they discover her at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And really, Reggie shouldn't be at the hospital.
No. And he doesn't end up there either, which is good, but...
No. Yeah. But Sister Monica Joan has taken a shine to Reggie because he's been helping in the garden.
Mm-hmm. And just to say, this is like the last... This line is like very cute, but it's the intro to like a very harrowing and like scary and dark scene. So not making light of any of that. Just this scene, this quote is just, I thought, very, very SMJ.
And I love this scene because Fred literally opens the van door and Sister Monica Joan is sat there waiting for him.
And he's like, oh. And she's like, oh, hello, Fred. Yes. It's really cute. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Next one. Failure isn't fatal, but hesitation can be. Give yourself a chance and him.
Oh. Read it again.
Failure isn't fatal, but hesitation can be. Give yourself a chance and him.
It is Nurse Crane.
Yes.
Talking to Trixie.
Mm-hmm.
About Christopher Dockrell, because for some reason she's hesitant and he's really keen to ask her out.
Yeah, he wants a second date back. Yeah. And I will say, just as a quick personal note, like so right before this, you know, Phyllis is like, oh, he came by and he brought flowers and like, he seems really keen on you. And I, you know, like, what's going on? And she's like, yeah, like, she's like, well, there's keen. And then there, you know, she's like, I don't want to look like I'm too interested or whatever. And she's like, yeah, well, there's looking too interested and there's looking like you absolutely just don't even care about this person. And she's like, yeah, I know. And then she says, I've wanted a relationship for so long, or I've wanted to be with someone for so long, but now that that, like, I may have an opportunity for that. She's like, I just don't know if I have the gumption. And I just thought that was like I just really like that, because it takes just so much work to start a relationship and stay in a relationship and everything, and like all the pitfalls that may come and the vulnerability and everything like that. And I just found that like so relatable, and I really appreciated that Trixie had that moment of doubt, you know, am I really gonna go all in for this? You know, I have to start, you know, I mean, you don't have to do anything, but like, she wanted to, you know, get her hair done regularly and like have nice fashions and have the energy to like listen to all of his stories and go out on the dates and like care about him and his interests. And it's just, and it's, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be in a relationship, but it's also a lot. And sometimes you have to be really up for it. And she just didn't know if she was, even though he's a very sweet man. And I don't know. It was a kind of a small moment, but I really liked that, you know, it wasn't depicted as something where, you know, as soon as she had a guy that was interested in her, she was just full in, you know, going at 110 miles an hour. Yeah,
lovely,
you know?
Tea.
Right, exactly. And how cute he was and how nice he was in the sports car and the whole deal, you know. So,
and he was the exception to the doctor rule, really, wasn't he? Because he's the only person that we've encountered that hasn't been the patronizing,
well, but to your point,
austere doctor.
Yeah, but to your point, Bex, doctors aren't dentists. Dentists aren't doctors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is not their title.
So he's exempted because he's not a real doctor. But I just like that Phyllis just basically says, give yourself a chance and give him a chance and just see, you know, Phyllis is just the most wise relationship counselor in the whole world, I think.
Apart from me. Next question. Yes.
Okay. I really don't think this is the time for levity.
Ooh.
Now, after the word levity, there's a name, but I've omitted the name for my first
cast. I don't think this is the time for levity, Barbara.
Yes! Oh. Good, good, good. And who says that to her?
Trixie.
Yes! Very good.
Is it
very
where
good,
going to good. Go with Hell in a Handcart?
Yes, yes. This Jeez. Is episode 6 no, is no. where they're the Cuban Missile Crisis and they're all worried about the end of the world and... Yeah. So this is also the part where they're all getting ready to, like, quote, spend their last night, you know, because they don't know what's going to happen with, you know, all that.
Oh, hang on. Bob's just coming there.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Bob. Yes.
Was it really good? Yeah, I just slipped when I was going back and I slipped.
You slipped? Yeah. Are you okay, though?
Yeah.
Did it hurt?
But
did you cry?
No.
Oh, well done.
Well, at first I slipped, but then at the end I got better, and then I did four on my own.
Oh, well done. That's amazing. Was Daddy good?
Well, he did have a knee hurt.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. We don't need two of us with bad knees in this house. Right, are you going to go up to Daddy with your iPad? I'll come and see you in a minute after we finish.
Bye, Puppet.
Oh, also, bye, Babs, do you want to hear something exciting? We're going to record the peanut butter episode.
Yes.
You've been asking constantly when we're going to do it. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Oh, she's already grown up.
I know.
She's got two boyfriends now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's got the gumption. Bob's has got the gumption. She's not one but two relationships. She's not worried about it at all.
Yeah, but what I love about it is she's got two boyfriends, but they've only got one each. They're not allowed anymore, and they're fine with it.
That's the way polygamy should work, honestly. Women can have as many as they want. Men, only one at a time. Because they can't handle it. Nope.
Oh, I might keep gosh. That in. I'm going to keep that in. Carry on.
So, next quote.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of memories. They don't belong to the house. They're ours. They come with us.
Turners, when they're leaving the flat.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So true as well, though, isn't it? Like, I really miss my old house. I loved that house. It was too small. But it was right near a main road. But, oh.
But also, for Timothy, that's the only place he'd ever lived with his mum.
Yeah.
Oh, way to bring a downer there.
Yeah. Well, the show just always kind of gives you these nuggets that are so relatable and so real to real life, which is a stupid way to say it. But you guys get what I mean. Like, and because I've just moved, I was obviously, really.
True to real life.
Well, we said that you're basically living the Turner's life at this point.
Yeah, yeah, I just
and I'm living Joe Collett's with my legs.
let's hope
I don't go on to into a home and then just park it,
or have, you know, open wounds that have to be packed twice a day and everything like that.
I think that is going to happen, but basically well, if the podcast doesn't come in after I've had my heart and I just park it, then you'll know by the fact that there's no podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've discussed this before. If our listeners don't hear anything, that's the sign we've all gone
I've had me off and I'm gone.
Yeah, exactly. Alex has left the building permanently. But yeah, I just really like that quote. And I feel like, you know, it's very easy for all of us to get attached to physical objects and physical places and things and everything. And especially like I just moved from not just a house, but like a whole city and a whole life where we'd been for a long time, and come to a new city where, you know, I don't know where I'm going. I'm making memories now, but I don't really have memories that much, you know, here. And the house is very new. Anyways, so it was a super relatable and comforting scene to me. It just felt like that warm hug that the show often gives. And I just really loved it. And I, you know, and as much as we like blast Dr. Turner, he's obviously like a really sweet and wonderful person and everything. So I liked that from him. So my sentimental moment, one of 1,000,000,000 that always happened, but anyway.
Love it.
Okay. You guys are going to know this one right off. I had quite serious intentions about this hairdo. I didn't spend 5 shillings on setting lotion and 2 hours in rollers to spend the evening knitting with the nuns.
Bex.
It's Trixie.
Yeah.
But why did her plans get... Oh,
Christopher Dockrell kept saying best Christopher. And we were like, what are you saying?
And he kept canceling. Because we find out he's got a daughter called Alexandra.
Alexandra. Yeah. None of this Alexandra rubbish. Alexandra.
But right before this, when she says it, she's like, best wishes, best of luck, like, you know, best see the back of you, like, what does best mean, you know? And then Barbara's like, well, wait a minute, like, he did say darling. Men only say darling about women they really care about. And she's like, I don't care, Barbara. And it was just after she got her gumption up to go out with him, and they had their moment on the sports car when they were like smooching, and they kind of, you know,
yeah, when she could have gone anywhere in London, she chose to sit on his bonnet.
Yeah, and be with him and everything. And so then, you know, but then he starts canceling their dates and she's just really irritated about it. And yeah. Oh, also setting lotion. I don't know if this is going to be interesting to anyone, but so one of my things that I love to do is watch like makeup and beauty like videos and read articles and like all that kind of stuff like that. I just love that the topic. And there's this makeup artist that I follow on TikTok and Instagram who is wonderful. She's like a celebrity makeup artist, but she's a massive makeup and like beauty historian as well. And she collects old makeup and old beauty products, and she shows them off and talks about the history of them and everything like that. And she did a hair tutorial one time where she talks about an old hairdo and like what they tell you to do to get the old hairdo. And they talk about setting lotion, and she's like, when I figured out like what setting lotion was, basically it's hairspray and water mixed together.
Oh, I thought it'd be ammonia for some reason.
Oh god, no. If you put ammonia on your hair, that would be terrible. I think like your hair would fall. Your hair would like
look at me, do I look like a beauty expert?
And I've spent my life trying to get curly hair. So I think as a child, because my uncle is a hairdresser, I think I've tried setting lotion. You know, when you like plait your whole head.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. Maybe is ammonia used in perms?
I think ammonia is.
It do you might know how I know this? Dye. Because of Legally Blonde, that scene. In Legally Blonde.
Yes, I think it's used in perms. But again, it's like a special chemical solution that you're supposed to put on. You weren't very wrong. You were mostly wrong, but not completely wrong.
Not completely wrong. Think about that.
Oh, anyways, so just to say, like, if you're ever looking for setting lotion, you know, you can kind of DIY one yourself, which actually makes sense that you, like, if you, because, I mean, the way that Trixie does her hair, you basically take your wet hair, kind of, like, partly dry it, and then if you spray the setting lotion mixture on top of it, which would be hairspray and water, and then you roll it, by the time it's fully dry, it's basically coated in, like, a thin layer of hairspray, and then you pull out the rollers, and then you've got, like, the curl, but, like, a lot of hold because of the hairspray, and then you can either, like, brush it out or style it however you want or whatever. And I mean, it's going to have a little bit of a crunch, but you know, you can like work around that if you, you know, just
as long as no one tries to run their hands through your hair. Fine.
Oh yeah.
Well, Mills, our listeners won't know this, but you two obviously do know this, but when I grew up, I was just had poker straight hair, and then suddenly when I was about 13 to 16, I started getting curlier hair, but I know, didn't really wear it like that ever. Yeah. So then Bex just said she was jealous. It just went funny, the internet. But I'm 42, and if I leave it to dry, from it just goes mega curly, and it's just mad how when I was younger it used to be just poker straight. It's just really strange.
Well, also, isn't it crazy how much hormones affect it? Because my sister I have kind of curly textured hair my whole life.
You're so jealous of your hair. Jen has amazing hair.
Jen does have amazing hair.
I do
hair.
Have really. You wouldn't know right now. Jen's if even you like saw yes, me. Really well, sorry, it's great. I do have beautiful hair. I'm not gonna lie about it. That's so horrible. To just be like, yes, I am. It's stunning.
No, it is stunning.
It is. Yeah, it is stunning.
I am quite vain about it because it's like one thing that I just feel is very, you know, it's like, yeah, I do want to take care of it. But my sister's hair is more straight and, you know, she has really thick, beautiful hair too. But like ever since she had my nephews, her twins, her hair has gotten a lot more curly. And this,
you know what? That makes sense actually, because mine since my daughter, since Barb's.
Yeah, yeah. I think hormones have a big effect on hair in a lot of ways, like hair growth, hair color, hair texture, like all that kind of stuff. And I know too, like, you know, like even like gray hair is more coarse and like, you know, kind of potentially not curly, but like more textured than like, you know, non-gray hair. And, you know, there's lots of like interesting things about hair that people don't.
I don't have gray hair, might I add to it, all listeners?
Yeah, I have no gray hair at all. My hair is as raven brown as it ever was. And I never have to do anything to it, just it grows out of my head. I'm kidding.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. I don't have gray hair.
You don't have any at all?
I've probably got about five now, but...
Oh, wow. Oh,
well, okay. I have spent my life so desperate for curly hair that I once read that if you shave your head, it'll grow back curly, and I've considered
it. Do it. Oh, see, but I think your hair's gorgeous.
I think you're really nice.
She's got really lovely straight hair.
No, I don't. My uncle is a hairdresser, which I mentioned, and he was like, oh, you've got your grandmother's hair. Because he used to do, everybody in the family would have their head, and he was like, you've got your grandmother's hair, which is not his mother on the other side of my family. He's like, it's just got nothing going for it.
Everybody's hair has something going for it.
No, it really doesn't. And then as I get older, it just gets worse.
Wait, why? Well, how's it getting worse? Well,
I just think one day I'll be bald because it's really fine and not that thick.
Oh.
But I've always, isn't it weird? Because obviously you always think other people, you always like look at stuff and you think, oh, that's nice that. And then you realize that they hate it.
Yeah.
I know. So you have beautiful silky hair, Bex. I think your hair is so shiny and silky. That's what I think of. And you have a very, very cute haircut as well, which I think really suits your face because you have like a beautiful jawline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my 2 cents. Well, we'll talk about hair stuff offline too, because I might have I love hair. I love hair. I love beauty. I love everything related to that. Okay, next quote. Here we go. Out now, before we both find ourselves in need of gas and air.
This is Nurse Crane talking to Marcus Antoine.
Well done.
Correct on the Nurse Crane, but he's not talking to Marcus Antoine.
Not well done.
The three boys.
No, he's not talking to them.
Oh. Oh. No, say it again.
Out now, before we both find ourselves in need of gas and air.
Which episode's it from?
It is the episode she's talking about. It is the Antoine boys episode, but she's not talking about them.
Oh,
talking to
Sister Winifred.
There we go, because Sister Winifred is driving.
Oh,
and had just delivered gas and air to her for Mrs. Antoine's birth, and then they were driving home, and she's.
But I think it's really Nurse Crane. Yeah, I love Nurse Crane, but she was unnecessarily unfair on Sister Winifred here, because Sister Winifred, she had a flat tyre. She says, oh, if you could have driven, you could have got here, but in whose car would she have actually used to get there?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, she totally was, but at the same time, she's probably getting frustrated at the fact that she's already been rude to tell her to do that, to ask to drive in her car, not ask, just demand to drive in her car and expect it.
Exactly.
And then not be committed to it after being such a pain in the bum about it.
Yeah. Well, Sister Winifred always like goes to 11 with everything, but then like she'll have, not always, but I mean like in this case, she was like, oh, I really want to do it. I made this decision like all by myself. And then she's not even like trying, which is frustrating. Yeah.
She's probably quite frustrating to live with.
Well, it's funny because
Sister Winifred, she's not just not one of my favorites.
I like her, I love her. But that incident with the, I just can't forgive that incident with the bathroom when it was icy.
Well, actually, so rewatching this, a couple episodes ago when we were first introduced to Christopher, there's a scene where Sister Winifred comes into the, I don't know what the room is called, but it's where they like pack all their bags and they have the autoclave and like all that kind of stuff. And she says to Sister Julian and Phyllis, who are like, you know, kind of just doing their work or whatever, standing next to each other. She's like, Dr. Turner has said that I can spearhead a new dental campaign for poplar. Like, we're going to save all the poplar teeth. And, you know, she's like, whatever. And Sister Julian is like, oh, well, I think there's no one better. Like, you're going to be great. And Phyllis is like looking, you know, and even Sister Julian is like, And there's just like all this extra subtext. And she's like, yes, it's going to be wonderful. And then she like bounces out of the room, basically. And then they both kind of have this moment where they're like, you know, and it's just amazing. Sometimes there's like these very like little like micro moments that you notice, and it's just, oh, it's just such a joy. They're just like, yeah,
cool. Brilliant writing, as we always say,
and brilliant acting too. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just like, because they're just like, okay, like another harebrained scheme that like is you know, she's going to go all the way off with. So, yeah. Okay. Next quote. It's not enough to love her. We've got to fight for her.
Oh, about Susan. It's, yeah. What's it? Rhoda Mullox. About Susan. Yeah. And she's not wrong.
Yeah, it's the scene where they're in the kitchen and she's saying, you know, like who's going to teach her how to use the potty? Who's going to help her climb the stairs? Who's going to help her learn to like read and write and all of that kind of stuff? And Bernie says, you know, like, I love her. Like we all love her. Like, isn't that enough or something? And she says, it's not enough to love her. We've got to fight for her. And I just.
So right.
Yeah, I just love Rhoda. Like, I just love Rhoda. Like, it's. Yeah. And the thing is, like. Sorry.
You know, when we first watched it and they spoke about heroines and, yes. and she is a heroine of Poplar.
She is. She really is. Yeah. And I just, I think that this is true not only for, you know, parents of kids and everything, but I think it's true for like a lot of people we love in life. Like, it's not enough just to love them or care about them. We have to show up for them. We have to advocate for them. We have to like do the work for them to help them. And that can take, you know, 1,000 different forms. It's not always the same, you know, for everybody, but like love is wonderful, but you know, in terms of the work of everyday life, that's not the only thing. I mean, Phyllis had a great line from a season previous where she goes, hard work makes other. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you know, you can give birth to a baby and love it all you want. But like, until you show up for that baby and start doing all the labor that it takes to, you know, make sure a baby is okay and well taken care of, then that's, you know, oh, sorry, girls. I just love it. It's just so much wisdom.
Next quote.
Okay, we're getting close to the end. Well, actually, no, we're not close to the end. Maybe I'll skip. All right, maybe we'll just go faster and I won't just divert every single time. Mrs. Turner is clearly at the mercy of her hormones.
Trixie. Is it Nurse Quaken?
No. This is actually
it Trixie?
Trixie, yes. Yeah. You know when she says this?
To and it's Nurse Crane.
Yeah.
When and she's Nurse... crying in the... Yeah.
Yeah, and Sheila's just snapped. She just snapped at Trixie.
Yes.
And Trixie's
yes.
basically like, I'm not going to take this personally.
Yeah. Yeah, and she started yelling at Trixie and then immediately started crying. And then Phyllis walks up as Sheila's like kind of losing it. And she says to Nurse Crane, she's like, I'm not going to take this personally. Mrs. Turner is clearly at the mercy of her hormones. And then that's when Phyllis says, you know, Mrs. Turner, like, I'd like to talk to you in the kitchen about an expectant mother who's not doing what she should.
who's not doing what she ought. I just love the use of ought. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, and they go in together.
We all know that feeling.
We've all been there. Okay, next one. This reduces body temperature and preserves intimate freshness.
Oh, bless her. This is the saleswoman for the for Violet's corset.
Violet's go- it
you
is
guys remember
Wilma Goddins. Remember-
oh, Wilma, yeah.
There we go. Very good. Yeah. I just thought that line was really funny, but I just loved Wilma and
yeah, she was amazing. Yeah, and she was a great saleswoman, and she really did help Violet.
Yeah, yeah. And she was way into the Costanza corsets and girdles and all that.
At least she left behind a lovely new sofa.
She did. And beautiful children.
And I'm sure they'll take solace in that.
Well,
yes, yes.
We should never have got rid of the old one.
Yeah, and just, you know, like, so much love for a woman. Like, so sorry that she met that very sad end.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah, I know it was just being glib. I know it was awful.
No, but I just wanted to, like, shout her out, and I thought that was kind of a funny scene, because she's like, oh, it's got lots of perforations. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what actually you're doing there.
I don't even know, honestly. But girls,
but it looked like the most rubbery, uncomfortable, like, when you're having a hot flush, it was not the sort of thing you wanted to be wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, also, like, I'm sorry, but, like, do you really want to put a thick, tight, like plasticated thing around your body when you're feeling... No. I don't know. I just was like, a girdle is not going to make you feel comfortable. Like, I can barely wear jeans for 8 hours and then feel like I have to breathe, you know? So, forget it. Now, girls, we're getting into... Well, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go for it. The minute I look at you, I'll give you everything you ask for.
Tom and Barbara.
No, but very close, very close.
Oh, Sheila and Dr. Turner.
Yes. Do you know when he says this to her?
Is it when she's in labor? No.
No, before that.
Is it when they're talking about moving house?
No, after that.
No. We're doing well.
Is it when they're talking, she's saying that she doesn't want Dr. Turner to be in the room with her when she gives birth?
Exactly right. And he's down on his knees because he's looking at her legs and he's like, your legs are kind of swollen, like, you know, that could be something. And she's like, oh, Patrick, like, you know, she's like, when you look at me, you just see a patient, you know? And he's like, no, the minute I look at you, I give you everything you ask for. And it's just, it's a very like romantic
apart from
scene.
Space.
Or yeah, any sort of support in the household.
Yeah.
I know. And like, I know we drag him like on the regular, but at the same time, like, it, like they are just truly like such a sweet and like romantic couple. And like, they're just so into each other, like to almost like just like Timothy, like a really like sickening level that just makes you be like, go get a room or whatever. But this was just he delivered the line so sincerely and so romantic. And she just is like instantly like, oh, Patrick, oh, you know? And I just was like, okay, shout out to Dr. Turner and Sheila. Cause like, he's really got it bad for her and he's very sweet and they love each other so much. Like, you know what I mean, what are you gonna criticize, like people who love each other too much? Like, come on.
Yeah,
you know,
to be fair, just,
yeah, like you can go too far with that.
All right, well, you know, I'm the schmaltziest one, so there is
you are
a time
the schmaltziest, to be fair.
I always have so much runway for that. Okay, another one. Now we're entering kind of a romantic quotes section. Okay, you ask for my advice but you don't need it because you find joy in the simple things. That's all love needs to thrive on, really.
Barbara's dad.
Yeah. When does he say it to her?
He says it to her when she's asking about advice on her wedding day. Before, yeah. She's trying to get like a talk with him to try and talk about advice about how him and her mum got on. And, yeah. And that's what he was like, oh, I'll come back to you. And then came back with that. Basically, I don't have anything to say to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sweet. And actually, that he's very right. Barbara is such a joyful person. And just as a quick aside, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but there was a study that was done on what makes a relationship last. And they call it the bird test. And basically, it's this idea that if you're in a couple and like both of you are in a room doing something and one of you looks out the window and sees like a beautiful bird, you know, or something like that. And that person says, oh, my gosh, come look at this beautiful bird. And the other person like stops what they're doing and comes to enjoy that moment with you. That's a sign that, you know, you're gonna be a good lasting couple because you're both invested in each other and their interests and like things that they are curious about and whatever like that. And again, I mean, you know, who knows, it's a study or whatever, but I just thought like Barbara is that kind of person. Like she would always like turn towards Tom, and I think Tom would do it for her too. Like,
oh yeah,
they're a really really good couple. And I just, I don't know, it made me think of it like when he says, you know, you find joy in the simple things, and like you just, you let love thrive because you build that up every single day. So
I think if Sheila was like, oh look, Dr. Turner would be like, I don't have time for this, Sheila.
Not now, Sheila. Put it in the drawer, Sheila.
Okay. I'm not even going to say anything because I've already said so much. Okay. Okay, here we go. Another line. I do everything for you, always.
Barbara and Tom.
There we go. And when does Tom say this to her?
When he gives her the big, massive merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Carousel.
Yes, exactly.
He doesn't do everything for Barbara.
No, he doesn't. But he does a lot. Like he really loves Barbara, like we all know. But it's just such a beautiful scene because they've just had their wedding. They've driven down the road to the little archway and everything. And he's like, I've got something to show you. And so he takes her, like they walk together and she sees the carousel and she runs forward and she turns around and she goes, oh my God, you did all of this for me. And then he like comes up to her and he says, I do everything for you always. And it's just such a romantic scene. Last one. The only thing that can ever hurt me is what hurts you.
It's Dr. Turner and Sheena again.
Mm-mm. But it is a man to a woman.
The only thing that can ever hurt me is what hurts you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Fred and Violet.
No, sorry.
Oh!
Okay, hint. This is the Christmas special that we just recapped.
Well, that would be very useful if we could remember what happened in it, wouldn't it?
It was a couple, an unconventional couple in the Christmas special.
Oh, was it Selwyn and Linda?
Yes, there we go. This is
hashtag boom, no revision.
I know.
I did not revise the Christmas special because I was like, I've just watched it recently. I should say. Clearly, I did.
This is when Linda is giving birth and she's squeezing his hand and she's like, oh, I'm afraid to squeeze you because it might hurt you. And he says, the only thing that can ever hurt me is what hurts you. And like my last three quotes were just very like guy focused because these were just like great moments for the men in the show to just show up for the women in their lives. And I just was like, all men take notes. Like, this is the kind of male energy in romantic relationships we need. And they're all great guys. I really love their, you know, partners, their wives, girlfriends, whatever. And I just got to shout out Gotta shout it out.
Now, this is actually really good because this goes on. I wanted to say something to Bex. So this is okay. To do with the Christmas special. Yeah. So do you remember in the Christmas special, Bex, you were like, oh, I really love that big banner where it says Christmas 1962. Oh! Expect a photo from me on this Christmas. Did we receive a photo, Jen?
I sadly did not see a photo.
I also messaged her on Christmas Day saying, where's my photo? Thinking she's got time here to do it on Boxing Day. What happened, Bex?
I didn't do it. The problem is I've just got no will to do anything now. Like I just can't be bothered with life between Christmas and New Year.
Well, that was before Christmas, technically.
Yeah, it was.
So she basically put it this way, listeners, she's a liar.
No, I'm just full of I'm full of ideas which I've not followed through on.
But not full of energy for making banners.
Clearly. No.
What day were you born, by the way? Huh? Do you know what day of the week you were born on?
Oh, I can look on my calendar, can't I?
My daughter's obsessed. Just because when you said I'm full of, I wanted to say, whoa. My daughter's obsessed with finding out what days people are born on.
I'm a Wednesday baby. I was born full of woe. Well, yeah, I don't think I am a full of woe person, but.
Yeah, we went to see my cousins because it was her son's birthday the day, and she was like, what day was he born on? We looked, and she was like, full of woe. For a one-year-old's birthday party. I was like, calm it. Full of woe.
Right.
Full of woe. What day were you born on, Alex?
Tuesday.
What's that?
Fair of face. Monday's child is full of grace.
Clearly not Tuesday's right, then.
No, it's totally not right.
No, I was a Monday baby.
What were you?
Monday.
Oh, Monday's chat. I can't even remember the flaming thing now.
I only knew the Wednesday's full of woe because I was born on a Wednesday.
Monday's child is fair of face, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's absolutely not true.
Tuesday's child is full of grace. That's me.
Oh,
Wednesday's child is full of woe. Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. Saturday's child works hard for a living. And the child that is born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay. There you go. Oh,
characteristically, okay. I was probably a Thursday with has far to go.
Well, also, like, rude that Wednesday's child just gets thrown under the bus because they're like a midweek baby. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, sorry.
Like, it's just like so dismissive, like the way she was just like full of
woe. Like they're just born to be like terribly sad. I'm sorry. Oh well.
Now, next episode, we are doing the peanut butter. Finally, the fluff and nutter, the peanut butter,
the peanut butter, PB&J's.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening, and we shall see you next week.
See you next week. Happy 2024. Yay!
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.